internet and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Gamer Show of this new year, 2013.
That sounded like a very kind of horse racing introduction.
And they're off. Well, I suppose it is. We've got a packet of Jaffa Creeks to get through, so.
Well done.
That's the microphone off. Anyway, happy new year to everybody.
What would our horse be called?
it seems like a moment for your kind of inspiration.
I know, that's why I asked, because none came to mind.
Right, okay.
The chunky ass.
The chunky ass.
Because it'll be kind of donkey-like. Mm. And quite. I really like the small horses that are very fat.
Yeah, could we splice them together? Like we could have like a big horse being ridden by a small horse, and that could be our jockey.
Okay.
Oh dear. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. So it's been CES this past week.
What's it stand for? What's it stand for?
Consumer Electronics Show.
There we go.
I missed that.
Yeah, Sam. It should be noted that because of Sam's birthday last weekend. Well, it was your birthday during the week. Happy birthday!
It was on Tuesday.
A number of us went away to a little house in Fife, and Sam stayed there for the preceding week. There was absolutely no internet access whatsoever. So Sam's been completely
no
off
data,
the grid.
No mobile,
nothing. So Sam was completely off the grid until Friday there. So he may be a little out of touch of all news stories, but
he can ask the questions.
He can.
I normally do. Like, what's that?
So during the past week, we had CX. And one of the big things, or certainly from my point of view, was Project Shield. Chiz, do you want to explain a little bit about what Project Shield is?
It's a handheld gaming tablet thing. It's not a tablet at all, is it?
No.
It's basically Android. It is Android, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Android-driven.
And PC, technically.
Tegra 4's NVIDIA's new sort of graphics chip. It's in it, so it's more powerful than what you can currently get.
And 720p.
Yep. And it's basically a fold-out screen, which looks like, imagine an Xbox, mixed by an Xbox 360 controller with a fold-out screen.
Yeah, kind of a... Oh, sorry.
You got a message.
And it reminds me, I better actually switch my phone off.
Where did that come from?
It was an email.
All right. That was annoying.
Yeah. It won't have come through in the audio, though, so people won't know what we're thinking about.
There was a ping.
So Project Shield is an NVIDIA-branded Android-based portable game device with a 5-inch 1280 by 720 display, so it'll be a 720p display.
How come you made me... And you've got the data in front of you, but no. Let me try and scramper in from my memory.
I'll do the next one.
It's going to be released in quarter two 2013. The price is still to be determined, but broadly what it is a handheld Ouya, I suppose.
Mm.
It's got to play Android games, and it's handheld. What it looked to me like, the controller actually looked like, you know those like really cheapy video game consoles that came out probably about 5 years ago, that you could play games if you essentially plug the controller straight into the telly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm eating a biscuit.
Jaffa Cakes tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It kind of looked like one of those.
Feel free to sponsor us and send us some.
Jaffa Cakes, yes. McVitie's, if you're listening, we'll have some Jaffa Cakes.
McVitie goodness.
It looked like one of them. It looks like a cheap... controller. It doesn't look like a kind of high quality controller.
It looks like I mind back in the 90s, it would be third parties would make its controllers and thing. Well, they still do, but they're better than what they were. But it looks kind of like they've added. Right, how can we make this controller look even better? I don't know. Let's add like a grill and a spoiler to it. Like racing lines. Yeah. So like they got Homer Simpson to do it or something. I don't think it looks like it. Apparently, it works pretty well and. But what's quite interesting is it can stream games from your PC at home.
To the telly as well.
Yeah, to the telly as well. And so it does that without a cable straight to the TV.
I couldn't see anything about that. But I mean, the line in the...
Because NVIDIA were working on that sort of technology.
The NVIDIA VGX technology. The ability to play PC games is accomplished leveraging some kind of technology that is used in NVIDIA's commercial VDI. Remote desktop and cloud gaming technology called NVIDIA VDX technology.
What?
Well, basically what it is you play, you've got a game on your PC in your house, and that game will then be streamed to this handheld console,
right?
And the video will subsequently be streamed to the telly, so you will play it with the console, the controller, but it will
not
play
be a
the
bit
telly.
Of lag there.
Apparently, that there's been a lot of work done on the lag. There's not a problem.
Although, obviously, you still need to, if you want to say, like, oh, I'm playing like high-end PC graphics on this, but you still need a high-end PC yeah, in your house to run it anyway. I don't know if there's a mark. I don't know. Me personally, the PC I've got home's reasonably good, but I don't know. I'd really bother with this, to be honest.
Yeah.
But there might be a market for it, and it's not a bad idea. It's quite cool what it does, but I say it would depend on the price point.
Mm-hmm.
If it's like £300-£400, get stuffed.
Well,
so
I think
it's more really. It sounds to me so far rather than a console. It sounds more like a kind of extension to your current PC gaming.
Yeah, I suppose it is. Mm-hmm. But you can also play Android games in it.
Have we just written it down as console wrongly? Or is that what they're marketing
No,
it as?
It's an NVIDIA's making an Android-powered games console. The fact that you can then subsequently play PC games on it.
Oh, right, so that's additional.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I reckon it's going to be about a $300 mark anyway, if not plus. Because if you think about like an Xbox and a PlayStation, they're subsidised with games that are, you know, anything £30 up. This isn't going to be subsidised at all, because Android games are like, what, a pound upwards, if you have to pay at all for them. So they're going to be subsidised, so it kind of has to be like £300-£500.
These are just the games from the Android market.
Mm. Well, I'm assuming people will start to develop for these consoles, but I think it's going to be like a Betamax VHS type thing that nobody will really know which one to kind of develop for.
I'm just interested to see how powerful Tegra 4 is over Tegra 3.
Yeah.
See if it's... Because, well, it's already... I've seen a few... its mobile game, its graphics are already looking near... its home console, even though they're not quite the same and can't do quite the same. But if Tegra 4 closes that gap even more, then that's really impressive.
Yep. Another thing that was announced at CES. CES is another thing altogether. What's CEX?
That's where you buy your stuff from.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where we buy the bargain basement games. CES, Project Piston was unveiled by a company called X3i. Now, I was completely confused about this, because I originally put in the show notes that this was the Steam Box that was revealed. Mm. Chiz then noted in the show notes that it wasn't at all, and then he put a link to an interview with Gabe Newell. I then did a bit more research on it and found a bunch of blogs actually confirming that it was the Steam Box, then a bunch of blogs confirming that Chiz was right, and then with a bit of research this afternoon, I think we've managed to work out exactly what it is.
Kind of hazy.
Yeah.
So we'll leave it to Sam to explain.
I had a box of Cocoa Pops.
Without milk?
A whole box. By itself. That's what I was doing. Well, all this was going on.
Okay,
just Cocoa Box. Cocoa Box.
I can't.
What is happening? It's a shambles today. No, it's essentially, it's a console, and it's in the shape of a piston. And it's powered through steam and animal dung, I believe. And it's been developed by a man called Jeremiah Kwasmigbeek. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly.
He has read the show notes.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a Jaffa cake.
I have no idea.
Right, okay. So basically what this is this company called XI3 unveiled this prototype computer called Piston. I'll bring up the picture so that Sam can see it. I think it's quite interesting looking. We'll put the link in the show notes, obviously, but basically, this is what it looks like. It kind of looks a little bit like a...
It's quite impressive of how it is basically...
Scroll up again.
There you go. That's it.
It's a PC. It's got a motherboard, graphics card.
I was going to say, it very much, when it was pulled apart there, it just looked like a mini desktop.
What they've done is, if you can imagine... a normal motherboard, which I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
And basically, what they've done, they've shrunk it down, but then broke it into like three or four different parts and turned it into a cube.
Yeah.
But you can also take it apart yourself and add parts and take parts out.
Well, I think you need to take it apart.
It's customize it yourself. So, it doesn't have a connection to you that you want. You take out the connections and buy one you want, sell the other part on, put that in.
All right. So that's quite cool.
GameSpy describe it. The idea is that the XI3 motherboard is built to be separate into three easily upgradable pieces, which XI3 equates to Legos, or Lego if you're from the UK. The benefit there is that you won't have to throw away the entire motherboard to upgrade. If you want more RAM, buy a new RAM module. If you want a faster CPU, get a CPU module. According to the product video for its existing Xi3 line, published in late October 2012, these machines are built to be used for 5 to 10 years with upgrades. The basic X3A version is in the $500 range. Well, it's saying in the $500 range. They haven't released prices or anything like that for this one, that the piston one that they released. But actually, coincidentally, you were bang on with the fact that it is going to run Steam. It's going to run Steam in the, what's it they call it again, the big picture mode.
Well, it said in the description, Steam. So
that wasn't really what
I kind of ran with that and developed. Yeah, I'm capable of reading.
Well, to be fair,
reading.
It's more than it normally does. Mm-hmm. That's all right.
My only problem with this
works
so
by osmosis.
I do.
Oh, no!
I just stole your childhood. I just touched you.
We have a show title.
Yeah, we do. Chiz, he touched Chiz.
Yes. Yeah, so far I'm not seeing an argument, apart from the cool little tiny boxness, an argument for this as opposed to PC.
Well, basically, this isn't really an argument as opposed to PC. It is a PC that you can easily upgrade. It's not got the pictures there. It's another show link. But
so is it kind of modular? Mm. Is that your upgrades just kind of slot in?
Yeah,
that's not a bad. I mean, and not that a PC's that so far
there
away.
There is a big. There's an increase in size in market for its micro PCs, like the small cases
I've
and things
found,
like that.
I've always found with micro PCs that they overheat quite badly, and also the power supplies for them traditionally. Cost a vast amount more than a standard power supply.
Yeah. But it's like you can get it's cases about less than a foot, smaller than you usually get, quarter the size. But the insides are still, apart from a micro motherboard, they've still got the full size graphics cards, but they're very cleverly put together so it all fits.
Yeah,
and there is definitely a market for that now. And so I can see that appealing.
I think this
to
is cool.
Like that.
I like this.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. But the reason they all kind of, well, it's quite obvious why it's all kind of come under a little bit of confusion, is because Valve actually have invested in this machine's development. So there was a lot of people who, myself included, assumed that this was the unveiling of the long-awaited and much-rumoured Steam Box, which was in part kind of confirmed by Ben Cranshaw during the Game Developer Conference in Germany. Remember, we talked about it a few episodes back, whereby he suggested that it would be coming out in 2013. However, in speaking to Engadget, he said that is not the case. But 2 days later, Gabe Newell had an interview with The Verge at CES, and he then started talking about the actual Steam Box, which is going to come out in a couple of months' time and is likely going to be developed by Xi3.
A free Jaffa cake to any listener who followed all of that.
The bottom line is, this isn't the Steam Box, however it will play Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine Steam Box looking pretty similar to it.
Anyway. Because it's likely to be developed by the same company.
Yeah.
But this cool thing about...
So they're just getting the sticky little fingers in all the...
Yeah.
Well,
aren't they? Good on them.
I mean, Gabe Newell said when he was speaking to the Valve, we will work with other companies, as it did with Piston, to encourage the growth of valuable systems, even if as it creates its own device. So essentially what they're saying is they're going to quite happily work with other companies to develop machines that play Steam, to basically create competitors to its own one when it eventually comes along.
Well, they don't lose out that much because everything's going through Steam.
Exactly.
They're just wanting more Steam. So they're kind of doing, in a way, what Microsoft did with the Xbox, in that they are trying to go for perhaps a Steam machine in every home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I suppose it's the same as Microsoft did with the Surface as well, in that they got into the hardware market and then kind of went, look what we can do. Everybody else, try and make this the same thing and compete with us. So,
cool. Go for it.
So that's quite cool. We've got a lot of echo today, I think. I apologise about that.
Last time you thought that, it didn't actually happen, I'd just roll with it.
All right, okay. So anyway, Gabe Newell is then talking about the Steam Box, and he's said some really, really interesting stuff about it. So, for example... it's going to be pre-installed with Linux, which is a bit of a no-brainer, but people can put Windows on if they wish. I really like this idea of it being the home entertainment server that you can plug up to 8 monitors into and play LAN parties with one box, but 8 monitors and 8 controllers.
Ooh.
I really like that idea.
Ooh, I got as hard as I ever do there.
Indeed, we're going to graze over that one.
Semi-flaccid.
So as a quote from Gabe Newell, so you will have one PC, eight televisions, eight controllers, and everybody getting great performance out of it. We're used to having one monitor, two monitors, and now we're saying, let's expand that a little bit. So they seem to be doing a bit of research into that, which will be really, really cool.
That's cool. Mm. That is really cool.
It does be pretty hefty, powerful-wise to do that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, again, another quote from him. Any PC can serve multiple monitors, so over time, the next generation post-Kepler, you will have one GPU that's serving up to eight simultaneous game calls, so you can have one PC, eight televisions, and eight controllers, and everybody getting great performance out of it, apparently. Yeah.
'Cause I noticed with the Piston said it starts at £500, and they've got another one a bit more expensive, which reckons weighs £700 or £800, right, which I think's got an i7 in it. Although if you're gaming, you're better off with the i5 £500 one, because i7s doesn't help with gaming at all.
Yeah, right, okay.
It's because it's got it's hyper-threading, so the only difference here, and that's good for like photo editing and things like that, mm-hmm, and data. Mm. Rather than gaming, it doesn't help gaming at all, because it's not used.
Yeah, so apparently they're going to expect to release the Steam Box at this year's Game Developers Conference in March. So I've got a couple of months to wait for that one.
Cool.
The other last thing, interesting thing that he was talking about was the controller, and he's talking about using kind of biometric stuff. I was sure I'd made some notes about this. Newell said that the company has been researching super boring stuff around latency and precision. I think you'll see controllers. Sorry, there's.
It's just noises coming from everywhere
today.
It
comes through the audio, it's fine. It's iMessage, you can't switch it off. I think you'll see controllers coming from us that use a lot of biometric data. We're a lot more excited about biometrics as an input method. Motion controls just seem to be a way of thinking your body as a set of communication channels. Your hands and your wrist muscles and your fingers are actually your highest bandwidth. So that'll be interesting to see what he actually means by that.
Right.
But more interestingly, we'll move on to the next story with a lovely little connection. How would you like to smell your video games?
Not at all. I did actually see this, and no.
I've just got funny situations. For example, like, say you're playing Half-Life 2 and you're crawling through the sewers. Mm. That's going to be lovely. And naturally getting the smell of human feces in your room. And then, what if you're gaming away, playing that, the whole room smells of it, and then like your other half walks in, or your mum, whatever, and goes,
what the hell
have you been doing? How long have you been gaming?
Well, this is all another CES story. Sensory Augment, I think they're called, demoed a Game Skunk product, which basically creates smells while you're going through games. But apparently, according to IGN, who it was demoed to, said they were unable to smell anything. Though they did justify it by saying that CES was a scent-heavy scene, apparently.
Right.
But they weren't able to smell anything. They were supposed to be able to smell
nerds
coffee.
Nerds are musky.
This is kind of like almost every April...
No, that's a short time. I can see it.
Almost every April Fool's Day, though, someone on television goes, there's now smell-o-vision. Yeah. Do this, scratch the screen, and all that
but
kind of
stuff. I can see there's some... I don't know.
I can't.
Is the right word. Right. Okay. What about when you know when you burn the field of marijuana in Far Cry 3? Uh-huh. Surely, I mean, there's some benefits there. Clearly,
suddenly get really hungry and have to leave here.
Sweet Jesus, I'm really hungry now.
What about this? Is a genuine
fail
one.
To be able to focus on the screen anymore and ruin all of your.
But do you not think it could add something to the likes of like Zombie U and Resident Evil and even Left 4 Dead?
That I don't want to smell zombies.
Yeah, but if you're walking along a corridor,
they're rotting human corpses,
and you start to smell them, it just adds the tension. There's one around here somewhere. Is it close? Is it far away?
That's just what Chris needs. Not only does he spew the first person shooting, he needs a game that makes him vomit through smell as well.
Oh, well.
I'm running. It reeks.
We're running out of time here for the news section, but the one last one that I wanted to talk about was this dad in I think it was China, hiring hitmen to kill his son.
I was really impressed with that.
To be fair, this news story actually came out a couple of weeks ago, but I just wanted to talk about it because it's awesome.
It didn't work though.
Apparently it didn't. No. Apparently he discovered
the hitmen were crap. They told him why they kept targeting him.
He realized that these same people kept on killing him and asked them why, and they explained.
Even
I wouldn't have paid them.
Even as Hitmen, gaming nerds are crap. Yeah, and your dad told me to.
Yeah, apparently Mr. Feng blames his 23-year-old son, or Feng, sorry, blames his 23-year-old son for his love of online role-playing games for his unemployment. But apparently, a quote from the son says, "I'm not looking for any job. I just want to take some time to find the right one that suits me." So he's playing MMO games until such times as that happens.
Until a job flies through his window and smacks him in the face.
Oh well, we hope his job search goes swimmingly. Couple of other very very quickly. Wii U sales are, quote, not bad.
Well, that's encouraging. Well done, Nintendo.
Yeah, apparently they've not divulged any sales data or anything like that, but they're saying not bad.
For it, it's the sales haven't been as great as what the Wii U, but the Wii, no, sorry, the Wii and the one article I read the other day was the in the first month. Even for games, it's nowhere near as good as the Wii either.
Mm. Really?
So, yeah, for actually games getting shifted. Mm. Although the games library, it's not that great. I was looking at what's coming the next few months, and there's just nothing that catches my fancy at all. I wouldn't mind having a shot of the Rayman game, but that's just a shot of. I don't know if I'd buy it.
The Wii was a big thing when it came out,
yeah,
though, and the Wii U just hasn't been.
It was a big thing for a number of reasons. The main thing was it was the first time you ever had motion controllers. I can't remember. Yeah. You didn't have any kind of motion controller before that. So it was a big thing for like having a family console all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sam just hit the microphone stand with a Jaffa cake
guitar.
Play.com to cease its retail business. Apparently there was a loophole in tax, and that's Play.com, we're based in Jersey, and due to a loophole in tax law, it meant that they didn't have to pay, was it VAT and things under 15 quid or something like that?
I'm not sure, but we were talking about this at your birthday do as well, I'm sure I mentioned, I think it was with Chris as well, talking about prices of games and whatnot, and blah, blah, blah. I did say when Play.com first started, I thought they were the best place to go buy, but now they're rubbish, obviously, because then, as Chris said, that tax law got... Because that tax loophole, and then that got closed up, and I went, all right, okay. And then literally like a few days after that, I read that argument, Play.com went down now.
Yeah, and also they took ages to deliver it.
It took them about 3 days to even process an order, which was just beyond the joke.
I ordered some Wii controllers from them 2 Christmases ago. Totally forgot I'd ordered them. Went on to my Play.com history to find another thing that I'd remembered I'd bought, and went on to try and find it, and discovered these 2 Wii controllers still sitting processing 6 months later.
Dear God.
Unbelievable. So I cancelled the order.
Ludicrous.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's a shame though, because there is some workers lost their jobs and stuff, but they were a crap company.
Oh yeah. I think they changed hands as well. Someone bought the company over, and ever since that buyover they went downhill as well.
Right, okay.
So obviously whoever took charge started cutting corners and
the final thing is there's new Grand Theft Auto 5 screenshots out. There's very little point in us talking about them here. All it really is it's shown that there's going to be sharks in the game. There's a submarine. It's a couple
of
other
things. Which we kind of guessed that from when they said they had mapped out the sea floor, which why map out if you can't go down there?
Exactly. So you should
scuba diving as well.
Scuba diving, yeah, quite right. So we'll put a link in the show notes for them, because there's very little point in us sitting talking about pictures.
Yeah.
So, anyway, moving on. Hang on, I've got to find the show notes. Where's the show notes? I've forgotten what the next section is. It's been that long since we've done it. The next section is,
Sam's
lo and behold, the preview section. So, Chiz, what are you looking forward to?
I'm interested to see if Crysis 3 is going to be any good. Really enjoyed the first Crysis, and basically until the aliens turned up, and then it went a bit meh, which is kind of what Crytek did with the first Far Cry as well. Real good game until the mutants turned up.
And I always got those two mixed up.
Yeah,
because of that.
They were made by the same guys as well. And then Crysis 2 I enjoyed, but it went too linear and sort of like it wasn't as open ended. And in Crysis it was an open area, you can kind of vaguely go where you want, and there's tanks and also mayhem. Crysis 2 went very much down, even though graphically beautiful, I still enjoyed the game, but it lost that bit of
feeling,
that bit of magic. Yeah, that as well. And hopefully Crysis 3 will, apparently, from what I've read, they're trying to get that back into it with Crysis 2's sort of graphics. Cool. And so yeah, I'm looking forward to get my hands on that, see what it's like. Hopefully it shall be good.
Very good. Sam?
I'm looking forward to Super Mario Brothers 3 coming to 3DS eShop in Japan. What are you looking forward to, Paul? Booyah! In your face, Wheatley. Basically nothing because I haven't been able to look at anything in the world. But last time I did have a little scout around. It's more just further news. But Rome 2 were announcing faction details.
Mm.
And so far they've got Rome, obviously, and the Carthaginians up there. But within each faction, there seems to be three different factions within mm-hmm. it. So I think it'll be kind of like a military faction, a kind of cultural faction, and a trading faction,
right?
And all kind of fighting for control of the empire, whichever race you are,
right?
Within the thing, and they've also put up some new really sexy images. But there, yeah,
cool. As Sam has already spoiled, I am looking forward to the news that...
God, I'm looking forward to this.
Super Mario Brothers 3 is coming to the 3DS eShop in Japan. So at the moment, you can get Super Mario Brothers, like the original NES version. You can get... Super Mario World was the original Game Boy version. So they're both available for the 3DS eShop. I have both of them, and I'm loving them. But they're now announced that in Japan, they're bringing Super Mario Brothers 3. In fact, it probably is out already, because I put this note in... Yeah, January the 1st. So it came out last week... Week before last, actually.
I take it hoping it comes over here, unless you've got a Japanese e-account and you could get it.
Do you know what I really like about it? That it's a snip at 500 yen.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't even know what the currency conversion is.
I have no idea.
Let's find out. Let's,
it's usually
to the
thousands
internets.
Of yen for things.
I'm just... I was just trying to give more information and ruin it for Paul.
500 yen is £3.48.
It's a snip.
That's not actually that bad, because the other games are about like 2-3 quid anyway, the other two Super Mario Brothers. So I really want that to come. I also really would like them to bring out Super Mario World, the first one that came out in the SNES, to the 3DS. That would be quite cool, because I liked that. That was a good game. Okay, what have you guys been playing this week? Sam, I'll start by you. Have you actually managed to play very much this week?
I actually played and completed, which I've owned for a long time now, but never had any interest in it.
Why did you get it?
Gears of War 2, because it came with a console.
Oh, okay.
It was a freebie.
Yeah, and Josh wanted it. Josh played. I bought it when my brother was living with me.
Oh.
And, yeah, so I played it and completed it.
What do you think?
Yeah. I still don't like it for the same reasons I haven't always liked it. The running, actually, it was really weird. The running on it kind of made me sympathetic towards Chris, because that kind of made me feel a bit sick as well.
Really?
You know, when you run and the screen
wobbles.
Yeah, I know
what you mean, but I'd never really experienced that.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And yeah, it wasn't bad. The story gradually got more interesting. Although, spoiler alert, the bit,
I think you're okay with Gears of War 2.
Yeah, the bit where the guy's wife was dead was a bit of it, or mongoed or whatever.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, she's
yeah. Well, I kind of, Bede was sitting with me while I was playing it, and we were kind of sitting watching, and he's like, oh, got her out, oh, she's a bit sick. Well, we might as well kill her then. No effort. What? Yeah. No. Oh, maybe the doctors can fix it. No, she was just. It was
There's
just
only
like.
One cure.
Oh, actually, she's got a bit minging in the last couple of years. I'm gonna just kill her.
That was a bit harsh. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that bit.
Yeah, but I actually really enjoyed. Going on the vehicles, the tanky thing and the flying thing and the big monkey with the gun thing, that was good fun.
You know, that game always reminds me of the X Factor. I've got this kind of mental connection between the two of them, because when I was playing through Gears of War 2, Kirsty was really into the X Factor at the time, and she used to sit on a Sunday afternoon and watch like the X Factor, the one that's after the X Factor.
Get to the point.
ITV2
Stop
one.
Talking about these
programs. And I was playing Gears of War 2 with my headphones in.
Yeah.
At the same time as she was playing that, and I just have this mental connection with the X Factor.
I have the same thing with like books and music.
Mm. It's Gears 1-2 one with the giant worm. You go inside it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was an awesome bit.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Cool. I have been playing Hitman Absolution. I was really enjoying it. I've kind of gone a little bit off of it.
Because I mind you tell me, it was last week you said you really, you are just thinking, starting to think you actually preferred it more than Dishonored.
Yeah,
you?
I was. I know. Really, really enjoying it to begin with.
Did you complete Dishonored? Sorry.
No.
You didn't?
Not yet.
So you just flicked to something else?
Well, because I have to play something for this week.
Oh, Paul.
I'm so very fickle. I'm sorry. I think my biggest thing is it... I've went through each level and I was like trying to be all sneaky. And then I realized on one level that I was getting really frustrated with. And all I did was at the beginning of the level, I just pulled out a gun and just started nailing people. Walked to the end of the level and it was like, yeah, you've completed it. And I was like, well, that's a bit crap. I've not done anything.
Yeah, but you don't get rewarded for that.
My points was like 500 million negative.
Yeah.
But the game's
free to do that with, but for example, if you're on one of the harder sins, you'll not be able to do that. You'll get wiped out pretty
well
fast.
I was walking through and I was finding it really, really annoying because I was just kind of popping up a couple of bullets in a policeman and he just dropped and that was the end of it, and you just kept on walking and it was like, this should be harder.
Usually a policeman takes like 8 or 9 bullets before he falls down.
No, but my point is it should be a lot harder than, maybe I'm being unfair to, but
you're
I think
on normal just, or
I just went on normal, yeah.
No, it's... Yeah, there was a few... When I've been messing about, yeah, you can easily do it on normal, but if you put... Even go up one more sort of set, yeah, it becomes a lot harder.
I think it was just like... There was a couple of points where I'd done something, I was like, oh, crap, I've screwed that up, you know, I've left the body, or I dragged the body in front of a doorway and somebody saw it, and I was like, oh, crap. The only way I needed to deal with it was just kind of look around the door, and that was the end of it, and nobody else kind of did anything about it, and I was like,
It's during those sort of moments I've noticed the AI isn't quite as great as what I hope for, but it's the same in most games, unfortunately. I think that's one thing I want for next gen is proper, decent, good AI. Yeah. But
it was good,
it's
though.
It's a hard thing to get right, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, I am enjoying it. It's just, it's not as punishing for you making a mistake. I mean, the fact that your points go into the negative, it's like, big deal.
It depends if you care about points or not.
Yeah. I kind of wanted a little bit more punishment for screwing up.
It's basically, it's a sort of game, if you strive to play it as... Kind of think of it, it's like what you do in real life. You'd want to go through undetected, and make your kills look like an accident and blah blah blah. Or even if you get from point A to B, try and get through without them finding you at all. Mm. Just try and play it like that, because it's the way the game's meant to be played anyway.
Yeah,
but it does give you, if you want to just go all gun, because it does give you a lot of weapons to play with.
Yeah,
so if you there's another mission you're allowed to do it as well.
If you want, Chiz and I can hire a large Hungarian woman to spank you with a stick wrapped in barbed wire.
Yeah.
Each time that you do badly.
Right.
Okay. Would that help?
Well, Glenn Hilders. Oh,
she's mean. Yeah. Rough.
There was I think it is the AI, and I'd never put my finger on what it was, but I think you're right, because there's another level where you have to take out 3 guys in Chinatown, and there's one...
That does sound like a joke. 3 guys in Chinatown.
Did you take them down, Paul?
I did.
straight down to Chinatown.
And this guy just walks, he does laps of a block.
Mm.
And that's all he does.
That's what most of them kind of, like, when you've got numerous targets, they do kind of go from one point to one point. Mm-hmm. You get some targets, well, kind of wander more to make it harder.
And you just did a lap. And all I did was I found remote explosives. I laid it down and then just kind of walked away a bit. I passed them.
This is a crowded area. You'd wipe it in.
I took out a number of people. Yeah. Lost some points for that. But, it's a crowded... Well, no, because at the bottom, I only took out, like, kind of 3 civilians. Only 3.
The man walking around, does he occasionally turn and shout very loudly at his partner while holding a map? Because I've been there as a tourist.
No. So that's what I have been playing.
Who's doing the shouting?
Oh, Tiny Temper.
Yeah. Cheers.
Oh, God.
What have you been playing?
I have been playing recently Borderlands 2.
Mm.
And... I'm not too far into it, but I've not played it too much past few days, but I need to get back into it. But what I have played, it's not too bad, it's quite good.
Did you play the first one?
I've not played the first one, no. You didn't.
I played the first one, I own the first one, and actually, Bede and I got it originally, excuse me, because we were going to play it through kind of online, because that was
the whole
how
point.
It was, that's how it was sold at the time, and it just didn't work. This is for PC, mind. And it just
I'm playing
not,
it for PC as well.
It just did not want to behave at all, which was really frustrating. Mm. And playing it alone, I found a bit meh.
Yeah, I'm playing it alone generally because it's...
You've got no friends.
And for PC, it's not really. And
I might get it.
Yeah. And what I'm liking about it is the sense of humour. It's actually quite witty, written.
And I've heard that, yeah.
The sense of humour is actually pretty good.
And it is.
And I say, I'm only like maybe 3 hours in the game, but so far it's definitely, I will go back to it eventually. But and on the PC, even though it's like a cell shaded sort of graphics, which gets a lot of bad mouth, but it's never bothered me, I think the game's quite pretty. And it suits the sense of humour.
I like the style. It's the same argument with Dishonored. You know, if there was that young lad that both you and I know that we were talking to it about it, that makes it sound like a young male prostitute, doesn't it? Nothing like that. But yeah, there was that lad we were talking to about it, and he was saying he really
Filipino
didn't
Fred.
Like, yeah, he really didn't like the look of it, and we both completely disagreed quite strongly.
Yeah,
I think if you like that style,
unfortunately, you can never disagree with anyone again.
Why?
Moving on. So the other thing we possibly should give a bit of a nod to is Griffball.
Right.
Yeah.
Just nod.
Yeah. We were playing. Chiz managed to set
enjoy
up
Griffball.
Oh yeah, I know, that's quite funny. Chiz managed to set up. Can we talk about this?
Yeah, I acquired a few projectors
from his work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
borrowed.
He took them back.
They're back at work now.
Yeah.
And we had three Xbox linked up to three projectors at this house that we were away with for Sam's birthday last weekend. And we found Griffball. I don't think any of us had played Griffball before, had we?
I'd heard of it, and I can't remember if I played in Halo 3. It was one of these games that was made in the community, maybe something to do with Red Rooster or something like that, because there's a character called Griff in that. They might have invented it. I'm not entirely sure. But it's something that the community made in Forge, and then it's obviously spawned into actually being a proper.
So essentially, what it is, you've got two teams, and they have like big mallets, the big kind of power
or the plasma, gravity hammers or
gravity
plasma
hammers.
Swords.
That's it. And a ball appears in the center. You all run sort of like dodgeball style from the back court to the middle, pick up the ball, and then you have to run to the opposition's. No, your own, actually. You have to run back again, don't you?
No,
you have to score
and score in
there. Oh, yeah, that was a problem at one point. I was turning around when I got the ball.
Yeah, I remember.
So, you have to go into the opposition goal to score, and it's a multiplayer game, and it was good fun.
It was just mayhem and fun.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Even like it was 3v3 when we were doing it, but I can imagine like 7v7 being... It'd be too much, but it'd be mental.
You could only go into it... Yeah. You couldn't have a serious game of grip. Come on, lads. Let's get down to it. Let's have a very serious
game. Let's have a tactical game.
Huddle.
I can imagine the map. Loads of lines. Oh, damn. Look, crap, loads of lines going over.
Load of lines. One game mode I totally forgot about till after weekend was flood mode, which was like infection from the last one.
I would have quite liked that.
But you actually look like proper flood. And when you hit someone, they turn flood. So it's like basically one person starts a flood and you're all working together trying to remain alive. And so the last man standing. But they've obviously changed it. It looks better. And I totally forgot we should really... That's one we need
that
to try
at some
point.
That would have been quite fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally forgot about it.
We'll try that another time.
So that's like... Bugger.
That would have just been another us versus you.
Quite possibly.
Yeah. We did turn into, at one point, we were playing five of us against Chiz, and Chiz wiped the floor with all of us.
Can I say that? In all defence there, when it came to capture the flag, I am the ultimate hero.
Yeah, no,
I was amazing.
Well. Anyway, moving on, gentlemen.
I would say when you're on your own, I did have more targets to shoot at than what... But for example, like
scores go up quite quickly when you're by yourself. I think
because I've got five people to shoot at. You've only got one.
Yeah.
And especially when you've got, I don't know, people standing in the corner still learning the controls, it becomes quite easy.
Is it John you're talking about? That his name's John.
John.
I don't think he'd be upset about that description.
Okay,
he got better.
He did.
Paul wants us to move on.
Yeah, we do.
Let's keep talking.
Yeah.
This podcast and all the others in the British Tech Network are sponsored by UK2. We really, really appreciate their sponsorship and absolutely love them. So if you could head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link and click on the UK2 link, you'll also see in there's a whole bunch of voucher codes and things like that that you can use to buy all sorts of services such as domains, VPS, VPN and so on and so forth. So if you could head on over, buy as much as you can, pop in those voucher codes, we'd really, really appreciate it. Please remember to go through the British Tech Network so that we get the kudos for sending you instead of you found them on some kind of forum. For voucher codes and stuff. Also, when you're logging into your account, if you could come to the British Tech Network, that would be awesome too. So that's UK2. They support British Tech and we love them for it. We'd really appreciate if you could support them too.
Tears what are you doing? A drill.
It's got like a laser sight.
It's a laser sight drill.
Oh, that's what I'm drilling.
So our bargain basement. If you can cast your minds back to 6 weeks ago, I think it was. Yeah, it would have been 6 weeks ago, the last time we did a bargain basement challenge.
I don't remember what games you guys had.
I had Secret of I'll do mine first, but I can remember.
Oh, no.
I had Secret of Magic Crystals, which was on Steam.
I can't remember what it's called, but I did install it and it didn't work. I remembered.
So whatever Sam had, he's just
that
gave us
thing,
a really good excuse
thing,
for it.
No, it's actually true. You can come over and see it. It's still installed.
Just go back to 3 podcasts ago and find out what it was.
Yeah. So whatever Sam had didn't work. Mine was The Secret of Magic Crystals, which was on Steam on sale at the time. Basically, the name's kind of deceiving because essentially what it was just pony riding, pony trekking.
was it not unicorns?
Sweet! Well, okay, it was unicorns, but you didn't do anything with the unicorns that was out with what you would normally do with a horse.
Didn't use the horn to open bottles.
No, I should have done. Yeah. Essentially, what you did was you got a pony or a unicorn, you groomed it, you then trained it. And the training it was very similar to Dance Dance Revolution in that the horse wandered along, and then every now and again an arrow key would drop down from the sky. You pushed it, and then it would either jump over or it would run a bit faster. You then did dressage, and sometimes it would do like knees up or gallop or whatever. I don't know what the different things are.
That's totally ruined unicorns for me. I really couldn't see unicorns doing dressage.
Well, it was doing dressage. They were doing weight pullings and stuff.
Weight pullings?
Yeah. So you had like a sledge behind it with like concrete on it.
That sounds like pony torture.
It did. The pony looked like it was really struggling. I was feeling very sorry for it. And then every now and again, you sent it off to do...
Sebastian, no.
You sent it off to do races, and it came back with, like, trophies and stuff. So, for example, if you did lots and lots of stuff on strength, it got stronger, and then you sent it off to do...
Hang on. You didn't even get to do the races.
No. It went away and did them itself.
All right, so you...
You had to just prepare it.
Go win me a race, and it comes out like trophies.
Yeah. That's rubbish.
I know.
And it's like a boxing game where you just run with him and make him skip and then send him off to box.
Exactly what it was. It's
that
exactly
is
what it was.
Guff.
And then
I
at one
it.
Point, a little love heart appeared in the bottom left hand corner of my screen. And when I clicked on it, it said it was ready to stud. And so we
ooh
could.
La la.
I know. And but it said you will either get a request from, if there's a name beside the heart, it means that there's somebody wanting to stud with you, or you have to get another horse. And for the life of me, I could not work out how on earth to get another horse. And right at the end of the hour, and I wasn't going past an hour with this game, trust me, right at the end of the hour, I realised that the way that you have to do it is you have to put a second stable in your farm. And the way to do that is not by upgrading the stable, which I'd done half a dozen times. You upgrade the well in the centre of the farm.
Well,
and upgrading the well.
Unicorns need water.
That makes perfect sense.
It does.
Well, anyway, that's
and it's a wishing well, so you have to wish for another unicorn to appear.
Well, that was it. It wasn't the worst one you've given me, but by far was it the best.
Right.
So, Chess, what did you have?
The worst one's still to come. I had Brian Lara's Cricket of Amazing Magnitude.
Is somebody going to have that last Jaffa cake?
Go for it.
I'm going to throw it in the middle and whoever catches it in their mouth.
I don't want it.
I'm going to have it then.
Okay.
Carry on.
So I had Brian Lara's Cricket by Codemasters.
Jaffa-y goodness.
And it was, cricket. Does anyone know the rules of cricket?
No. It's like rounders, but with flat bats.
It might have helped if I learned... It might help if I learned the rules. Well, learned the rules.
And you don't go
round,
you just go backwards and forwards.
Mm. No. And it would help if I learned the controls. Because I thought, right, I'll just jump straight into it. And I went to a start tournament, went to go Scotland. I think in my group I had Australia first. I went, oh, this is not going to go well. I didn't even change it. I don't think it was a normal settings. I think I have no idea. Started off, and I was batting first, smacked the first two out of grounds. And I thought, oh, that went quite well. And then I'm not sure I'm supposed to run when that happens, or you just get given runs. I'm not too sure, but just kind of
so like baseball or something. Yeah, you knock out of the park.
I have no
fine.
Idea. But then when from a good start, I went to actually not being able to hit the ball anymore. I don't know how I did it originally. I forgot what buttons I was pressing, and then to eventually got back to hitting it again. I'd hit a wee bit, and somebody chased after it, and I went oi! And then I didn't realise till like 3 runs later in the bottom corner you get a tiny little box of your guys. Like you're watching on the big screen where the ball's going as folk chasing after the opposing team. And the bottom right is your two guys by the stumps on a elevated sort of view. And I think you must have to press some sort of button to get them running. But to the life of me, no matter what button I pressed, they remained completely still. Because now you do not know the rules of cricket. We shall not move. And
I thought you played Scotland.
Yeah, well, but that's they're basically English, so they play cricket, they're not.
Okay.
We apologise.
A little bit of racism there. This is what I have to put up with.
The opinions of Grant Chisholm are not the opinions of the British Tech Network or any of its subsidiaries or sponsors.
They are.
He spits on me when he walks in a room.
So you didn't enjoy it then, is what you're saying? Like,
you smiled the first time I did it. I just take it as a greeting now.
So you didn't enjoy it then?
Okay. No. And then okay. I don't think it, even within that, maybe it wasn't an hour I played it, but within that time I played that, I didn't even get even near the first sort of, who makes cricket last days? Because I got nowhere near
finishing that. I don't understand how
they do smaller ones. They do smaller ones. But yeah. I went to one in Darwin. I can't really remember much about it because I got very drunk.
Yeah,
there was boobies. it was pretty good, to be honest.
Okay, cool. Right, are we ready for our games this week?
Go for it.
Okay, Sam, you're one. I'm trying to find a quote from a magazine or something that is not one, so that's always a little bit worrying.
Oh dear.
The tagline is "Remember the dead, fight for the living." You've got Hellgate, London.
Oh.
You've played that, have you not?
Yeah. Pretty sure I owned it at one point. I probably still do.
Chiz, your one has a quote from IGN, in fact. Closer to replicating the feel of real-life sport than maybe any sports game in history.
Oh, God, it's another sports game I hate, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know this
You've
is
got table tennis.
Unless you're playing the table tennis that we played at Sam's, so the very violent edition.
Yeah, I'm still trying to remove the ping pong ball.
Hang on. I thought Hellgate
I can
London,
see some videos that help you with that.
I thought Hellgate London was an online game.
Is it?
And this is and this is saying it's offline.
Oh well it's offline then.
Because I thought you could play with other people on the internet.
I don't know, Sam.
Oh well, you've ruined that then, Paul. Hold on.
Right, what have you got me?
You have the majesty of this.
Oh my god, Woodcutter Simulator.
The simulators are back.
I can't install these, we've explained
this. I just said to him.
You found a way before.
No, but remember, that was because it was my old iMac, and I don't have that anymore.
I can
don't
find
have
a really rubbish Mac one if you want.
You've got Windows at your work.
I'm sure
I can install it at that.
I'm sure I can find you a really torturous...
I was thinking about boot camping this anyway, so I might just have to do it at some point in the next fortnight.
You want to do it. I can see it in your eyes.
You can say it's like, oh, woodcutter, I wonder what that involves.
Right, we've got some things.
Design
just
my own
to...
lumberjack.
First of all, the European Podcast the European Podcast Awards are still open for voting. If you could head on over to the British Tech Network website.
When does that finish?
It's next week, I think. I think it was this morning you and tweeted that there was 2 weeks left, or maybe it was on Friday.
My mum was asking how she votes for it.
No, well, there you go.
It just for anyone's knowledge there, it is not often that my family pay any attention to anything I do.
You work with your dad as well.
So, so we can, if you go on over the British Tech Network website, you'll see a link there. Please vote for any of the shows there or all of the shows there. Vote as much as you possibly want. If you shut down your browser and open it back up again, they don't notice.
Stop telling people that.
If you could vote for the British Tech Network, all of our shows, we've got Mac, Big Gamer, Media, iOS, and Photo there. So if you could run on over and vote for them, that would be awesome.
Just in a quick furtherance to what Chiz was saying with me working with my dad, when we first started doing this, I went through to my dad's office. I was like, oh, I'm doing a podcast thing. It's going really well. He's like, yeah. And how does that benefit the business? All right, Dad, bye.
The second thing to point out is the British Tech Network Bash in the summer has been announced. I don't think there's any way to get your tickets or anything like that yet.
They're going fast, though.
Even though they're not available yet.
Yeah.
But it's the 6th of July, so keep that date free for your diaries. It's likely to be somewhere in the vicinity of Birmingham. We are toying with the idea of going. Chiz is currently trying to find a way to sever his... life-giving connection to his mum for that whole weekend.
is that an umbilical cord? Is that what that is?
Hopefully we'll see you down there. We might all be there. I believe the iOS show is going to be there. The media show is likely to be there. Of course, because Ewan lives there, the big show and the Mac show will also be there. So if it's anything like last year, it was great fun. Lots of booze, a pig to be eaten, and there was some entertainment by James from The Big Show. So, all very good.
Oh, when you said James there, I was like, ooh, quite like that patent. No. Oh, well,
oh, James,
I'm not going anymore.
No, all very good. The other thing is, just a little heads up, the Video Games and Learning Symposium is happening in Glasgow in February 2012. I'll put a link in the show notes. But basically, it's a thing that happened for the University of Glasgow's Humanities Advanced Technology and Information Institute has organised a half-day symposium exploring the area of game-based learning and the use of off-the-shelf consumer games technology within the educational context. So if you're interested in any of that, we'll put the link in the show notes, and I think you can just go along. I don't know if there's any cost or anything like that, but oh no, the event is free. It's in big capital letters.
Are we going? No.
Really? You simply...
We normally go to anything that's free.
You simply need to... Well, you could go if you want. I'm not. You could simply register to attend. I can't because I've got something else on that weekend. Just all incidentally, right. It's not that it's crap or anything. It's actually very good.
You can go, but I'm not.
So
why are we mentioning this? Yeah.
No, it looks very interesting. I just can't go that weekend. It's my birthday. In fact, that's the reason for it.
Oh, is it?
It's on February the 28th.
Mm-hmm. Is that when your birthday is, isn't it?
It is when my birthday
really?
Is.
Really?
We'll take you there for your birthday.
Yeah.
I'm doing something else on my birthday.
No, not anymore, you know.
Anyway. So, yes, just thought we'd give a little bit of a plug to that. All very good, and it's good to see Scottish gaming-related stuff. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can email the British Tech Network on the British... Sorry, the... there's not got a the at the beginning, I always say that. BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com. You can follow the network at British Tech on Twitter. You can follow me at Paul Wheatley on Twitter. You can follow Sam...
Dr. Nasty Flaps.
At Dr. Nasty Flaps on Twitter. Chiz has yet to cave.
Silky Spandex 89.
We're just going to see if somebody else will create
that. Yeah. Can we do that every show?
I would like a picture of a depressed unicorn.
Anyway, right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. That's the first show in for the new year. And we will see you all in a couple of weeks. Good night.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye. Ah!